Hi, Art Supply Posse. The conversation I'm bringing to you today promises to be informative and probably a little bit fun. I'm chatting to David Liston, a representative of the Incognito Art Show. Goodness me, I'm already struggling to get my words out. You may remember that Gina Marie Cincinnati recently shared her experience of showing her work at the Venice Biennale. Now, I know the Incognito Art Show and the Biennale are two totally different things. However, there are similarities between them, which of course is the opportunity for artists to showcase their work and also for an audience to see that work and purchase that work. I think the conversation around showing art, both from an artist's perspective and a potential buyer's perspective, is quite an interesting one. I'm actually participating as an artist in the Incognito show for the first time this year. I'm a little bit excited and tiny bit scared. I'll be sending my work in this week and I do look forward to sharing it with you once it's there and things are happening. Hi, David. Welcome to the Art Supply Posse.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
My pleasure. Now, just before we get started, would you be able to share with us just a little bit about who you are and what you do within the Incognito Art Show?
Yeah, no worries. So I'm co-founder of Incognito Art Show. I've been running it for about 4 years. I'm a media and marketing professional and have a business, GTM Partners, and then obviously run Incognito as well. So, that's me.
That's you. All right. So probably like the biggest question of all is why exactly was the Incognito Art Show created?
Why it was created was to deliver on a few different sort of goals. We sort of said that we have three impact goals at Incognito. The first is to raise money for arts organisations. So the profits from the show all go to arts organisations. This year it's Studio A and We Are Studios. They're both arts organisations that support artists with intellectual and physical disability. The second goal we try to achieve is we give amateur and emerging artists the ability to exhibit alongside professionals, and we help promote their work both with our online promotions and with our in-person sale. And then after the show as well, we help promote them there. And then the third is to bring new art buyers to the market. So the price of all Incognito artworks is $100, and that low flat fee encourages new buyers into the market, people that may not have the means to traditionally buy original art. So by getting new buyers in the market, we think it helps the whole art ecosystem. And as we all know, once people start buying, they rarely stop. So they're the three sort of reasons why we run Incognito.
They're all really fantastic reasons. I do want to touch on, though, that last one of bringing new art eyes to the market, because I think that's incredibly important, because a lot of people, I think, and I'm not sure if afraid is probably too strong a word, but there are people that, you know, have never purchased art, don't have any art, that may think of it as just a world that's not accessible to them. You know, they may think of art as being tens of thousands, gosh, even millions of dollars, right? But it doesn't have to be. I mean, it can be $100. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think what you're doing with that promotion of it is a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's part of it. We sort of, I mean, the biggest goal is probably the raising the money for the arts organisations, but it's not too, the other two are not too far behind. We feel like the model in Incognito, in that we sell everything anonymised, so all our artworks are numbered. We don't you know, have the artist names in front of them, and we do that very purposefully to both democratise the kind of viewing and the judging, but it also allows for potential buyers to engage in original art without the sort of intimidation or kind of, so intimidation of not knowing the artist or the art. So by taking that element away, by making it all the same price, it kind of relieves any sort of fear that people that don't traditionally buy art have in coming to buy.
Yeah. Well, I would think it would mean they could purchase from their heart as opposed to having preconceived ideas about who or what is good. If they see something and they love it, excellent, great. That's really all that should matter anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone comes with that goal in mind. There's no, like, there's an element of people will recognize a professional artist and the professional artwork there, and they'll want to buy that because they love that artwork. But look, the vast majority of people that come and buy, they're looking for something that truly speaks to them and that they can pick up and keep on their wall at home. So it's a you can see that and feel that when people come to the sale day. They're really, really looking for themselves, and they're really, really keen and eager to buy for the love of it more than anything.
Well, the other nice thing too is going in, they know that each piece is priced at $100. So you don't even have to, if you're assuming you can afford that and you've decided that, yes, you can afford that, whether you're buying one piece or 10 pieces, whatever, you know what the price is. So then I would have thought it makes it even easier for the actual purchaser.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure about you, Kim, but I've sat through sort of digital auctions looking to buy artwork, and when you get picked by someone that's maybe got a bigger budget than you, it can be very, very disappointing. So it does give people a lot of agency and a lot of, makes them very eager when they know that they're going in there and they've got $100 and they know they can pick up an artwork. It makes it very, very straightforward for them to be buying.
So with the profits going to various art organisations, it's such an incredible thing that you're doing. And I wonder, how do you decide, like, who decides which organisations each year get the funding? And what's that process like? Like, do people pitch to you and say, look, we need funding for XYZ, or is it a more organic, you guys go looking for it? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. So the first year that we started, Laura Jones, who's one of our co-founders, she identified Studio A as an organisation that does really, really good work to support their artists who are intellectually disabled, but they're very high-functioning artists. They're very, very good artists. And the way in which they get supported is very sophisticated. And while a lot of people may think, oh, well, if they're so good, why do they fund them? That's exactly why we want to fund them, because they're a really good operation. They're a not-for-profit. And so when we have the confidence to know that the money that we help fund their programs with, it makes us a lot more – when we know that stuff works really well, it makes us a lot more confident to give the money over. So it works like that. Last year, we sort of introduced the idea of a secondary partner. We worked with Little Orange Studio from the Campbelltown Arts Centre, and they're fantastic, a similar organisation to Studio A. So we partnered with them last year, and then this year we found We Are Studios, who are based in Bankstown, and they're very sophisticated as well. And so what we look for is, first of all, they're sort of vetted by industry and by other artists and arts organisations. And we meet them, we go out and see them. We work pretty hard in making sure that we know that if a whole lot of artists, if thousands of artists are going to contribute their artwork for free, and we're going to sell that to raise money to contribute to these organisations, we've got to make sure they're the right organisations. So, we look for them, they come to us, all sorts of things. So we're always on the lookout for new organisations to support.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess in a way the answer is probably obvious, but why do you think, from both the perspective of the participants, the artists, and the buyers, why do you think this works as a format?
There's lots of reasons. I think for artists, there's a couple of, like, for artists that they're not full-time professionals, so it's their hobby or their part-time or their emerging or trying to get their practice recognized professionally, it works really well for them in that we have a big platform, we promote to many different people, we get a lot of media coverage, so there is the opportunity to be discovered and have their work you know, people are buying their work off the back of it. We survey the artists at the end of the year, and the last survey said that 2 in 3 artists saw commercial benefit off the back of taking part, and that can be commissions, that could be new followers, people buying their existing work, that kind of thing. And then, you know, 98% of them said that they take part again. So we really work hard to make sure that we're delivering for those artists. Now, the professional artists are a little bit different. Don't necessarily need to be promoted or sort of anything like that. But what I find that they really enjoy is they enjoy selling their art to people that traditionally wouldn't be buying their art. So if you're, you know, Jason mm-hmm. Fu or Laura Jones, who might sell your work for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, $30,000, quite often you're selling to people that have the capacity to buy that, right? So for them to be able to sell to people that mm-hmm. don't have that kind of money, they get a real kick out of that. So they really, really enjoy that. And sorry, the second part of that was, what is the buyers? Is that what it was? What do the buyers get out of it?
Yeah. Like, do you get feedback from the buyers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're constantly getting feedback. And, you know, 99% of it's generally just words of encouragement. So we do that, but we're in terms of the feedback loop, we're more interested in supporting the artists. It's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. What buyers get, you know, $100 artwork that they can take home and enjoy.
So the one thing I've just realized is you and I are working on the thought that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about the Incognito Art Show. And I suppose we should sort of step back to the basics of it. Like, this year, it has closed for entries for artists. However, of course, it's going to keep going. And so can you sort of share with the listeners, they don't know what exactly this is that you and I are talking about like they do. So what exactly is it, and sort of how, I guess, share with people, because a lot of our listeners aren't, not only do they not live in Sydney, but, you know, they live overseas as well. Like, we've got a global audience. So if someone's listening and they're like, this actually sounds like something I would like to take part in, how can they do that?
Yeah, so the way Incognito works is it's open to any artist to take part in it. So whether you're an amateur, emerging, lapsed artist, professional artist, you can take part in the show by going to incognitoartshow.com and registering as an artist. As you said, by the time this goes to air, and it is closed now, but the artist registration is closed, but we will continue to run this every year. So once artists do mm-hmm. register, we deliver them an artist pack with 3 cards in it. All cards are A5 in size, and the artist is to create artwork on them and then return them to us in the return envelope that we provide. So to register is completely free. We send out the whole pack. Artists can create their artwork and deliver it back to us. Once we receive that artwork, we exhibit it online, and it's all anonymized. So every piece of artwork is numbered. And so then at that point, once it's online, we're encouraging buyers to start engaging with our website to start finding their favorite pieces of artwork and creating wish lists. So our website gives people the ability to make their own little wish list of the artwork that they're looking forward to buying. Now, once all the artwork is on the website and there's been a couple of weeks of people building their wish lists, we have a sale day. The sale day starts as an in-person sale on the 13th of July at 8 a.m. at 410 Oxford Street in Paddington, Sydney. Now, the rules of the show are a little bit different to a normal art buying experience. Is it's first in, best dressed. So the first person at the door gets first choice of artwork. Every buyer is limited to buying 3 artworks each, and all artworks are $100. Now, the twist in the whole show is that you won't know who you're buying, what artist you're buying, until you've bought it. So that more or less, as we said, democratizes the art buying experience, and people really pick up artwork that they love, that speaks to them, regardless of name, regardless of price. They pick up an artwork they love. And so at the conclusion of the sale days, we will open an online sale. We open the online sale for 2 reasons. First of all, there's no way we can sell as much artwork as we get now. This year we're expecting probably 10,000 to 15,000 artworks to come back. We can't sell that in person. So we'd imagine we'll sell about 3,000 artworks on the weekend, and then there'll be 7 to 12,000 artworks to sell at the conclusion. So we sell that all online then. So if you follow us on social media or you put your email into our website, you will be notified when our sale process begins.
It's such a cool way of doing it. And I've got to say, from my perspective as someone who's participating for the first time, I'm super excited. Like, I had a friend, she's actually a listener of the podcast, and we're friends. She was the one that told me about you guys. She sent me a link a couple of months ago and she's like, you should try it. I'm giving it a go for the first time. And I thought, you know, why not? Like, the barrier to entry is low. As you say, you send out the cards, like that's done. So I don't have to think about sizing and that sort of stuff, or, you know, any artist actually. And then when it arrived, it's that excitement of, oh, what am I going to do? Like, because so I play with different mediums and different things. So I've got quite a few different options of what I can actually do. Now, I won't say what I'm doing because we're keeping this anonymous, but it's exciting. Like, from where I sit, I'm like, oh, I'm looking forward to this whole thing. And then, of course, once I send it in, then waiting to hear, like, things are starting to go online. Like, it's really exciting. Like, from my perspective, I'm loving this whole thing. Like, so far, it's just exciting. I keep saying that same word. I realize that, but it's just, and I look forward to it. And the other thing I actually look forward to doing is, you're right.
Yeah, the experience you're relaying there is actually an interesting one, and one that we found quite common is that, you know, we were talking about for buyers, the fact that it's anonymous and it's $100 liberates them a little bit for buying what they like, and there's no pressure on names and price and that kind of thing. But the anonymous element of incognito also benefits artists and kind of liberates them in their practice as well. So a lot of artists that maybe have a set subject matter, a set medium that they use, that they've sort of, they're used to and they've done well with, but they might want to try something different. This really gives them the opportunity to do that as well. And there's no great pressure from anyone about how good or how time or how much effort goes into this. If you want to do a really quick, fun abstract picture or quick, fun portrait or something completely new, there's no pressure on how you do that. You produce the artwork you want to produce, send it back, we'll exhibit it, and hopefully we sell it.
Yeah. So I definitely, the other thing that I'm looking forward to is that seeing what's online and seeing if there's something that speaks to me that I need to buy as well. Like, it's, and I find that an interesting thing, because whilst I haven't entered art competitions or shows before, it's something that I'd like to get to. There are thing where, you know, you've got to meet whatever standard it is and this, that, and the other. And usually, like the one I'm thinking of entering a photographic exhibit, there's nothing from it. Like, the works aren't for sale, which is fine. Like, it is what it is. But there's no option for me to see those works and then have the chance to buy them. I mean, I guess I could. I could probably find out who the person was that took the picture. Like, you know, like, it's a lot harder, whereas you've just made this so easy. People can take part, either as artists or purchasers or both. And I just think doing it the way you've done it is such a no-brainer. Like, it just makes things easier for everybody.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. We don't want – we understand that, like, to produce artwork is a big effort, you know, and so we want to make everything that sits outside of that as easy and as seamless as possible for the artists and the people buying. So, yeah, I mean, thanks for the feedback. Like, we're glad that it's easy, but that's a really big thing for us. We're not, you know, there's arts professionals in here, but our whole focus on this is making it a really efficient process that's going to best help us support artists, art buyers, and the organisations that we support.
So, do the artists find out if their work is sold?
Yeah, they will. So when we start selling, when the artwork is sold, it will be marked as sold, and that will take, you know, we will be selling, I'd say, for probably 3-4 weeks. Most years every year we have sold out. So, yeah, but it's, you know, artists can sit there and wait for it. What we really encourage our buyers to do is to contact the artists and let them know a little bit about where their artwork has gone. So that's a big thing that we kind of push with the umpires.
Cool.
Because the artists love to know, you know, the story of the art buyers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also wonder, do you get from the organisations that are getting the funds, do they, and it may not be straight away, it might be, you know, in a few months' time or something, but do they come back to you and say, this is what we used the funds for that you donated to us? Like, do you see where it goes?
Yeah, and so we have a bit of control over that. So we like to what we like to fund is collaborative programs between their artists and other professional artists, so to bring their sort of practice up. So we fund that with everyone that we partner with, and they're fantastic organizations, and they've done a great job deploying the capital that we raise.
That's really cool. So I'm wondering, when the first year of the show compared to now, what are the numbers for the first year? How many artists did you have participating? And the other question is have you had to expand the space where you show that, like, where you have the in-person sales, or have you just always gone big from day one?
Yeah, so absolutely. So the best way I sort of measure the growth is by artworks returned. So the first year, mm-hmm. we had the ambition to get 100 artworks in, and we got 1,800. So we did a lot better than we expected. The second year we got 3,500, so nearly doubled. And then the next year, last year we got 5,300. So similar sort of growth. And then this year, as I said, I'm projecting sort of 10,000 to 15,000. So it's growing exponentially each year. Now, in terms of the space, we've used spaces that are about the same size each year, but last year was the first year where basically the space that we had couldn't accommodate all artwork to be put on the walls and to begin with. We obviously, once we start selling, we put more on the walls, but that's the restriction you get with this much artwork. Like, if we get 10 to 15,000 artworks, the kind of space that you would require to exhibit that is huge. So what we do is we put a sort of a selection on the walls. We'll get about 3,500, and we'll start with them on the walls, and we pick that based on sort of variety, and variety in medium, variety in subject, variety in caliber of artists. And then once we start selling, we start putting all the other artwork on the wall. But there's no promise that anything will get on a wall, but everything will be exhibited online. We will promote every artist that takes part as well. But look, if any of your listeners has a huge space for us next year, I'd love to get everything on the walls.
That would be incredible. I'm just trying to picture 15,000, was it A5 size pieces? I just can't. Yeah. I mean, kind of can, but I can't. What's the vibe like on the weekend?
Yeah. The thing is, it's really hard.
I'd imagine it's exciting.
Yeah, so one of the great things about Incognito that kind of caught me by surprise was the sort of carnival community atmosphere of the sale weekend. So we sort of run that sale weekend pretty efficiently. We want people to sort of come with their wish list of which artwork they want to buy and get them through and get them bought pretty quickly, just so we can get them more and more people through. And so it's not the kind of traditional art show where people are milling about checking the stuff out. It's kind of get in, get out. But the line, obviously, people line up for this, and so people in line, as you probably recognise, art fans and artists are the most wonderful people. It's the easiest line you'll ever have to deal with. Everyone is so nice and calm and having a good time. But there's sort of, you know, a good anecdote for how the community works really well. There is that in the first year there was a lady, you know, sort of middle-aged lady and a younger woman, you know, probably 10 or 15 years difference, probably 20 to be honest. And then the next year I saw them again, and they were in line together because they made friends the previous year and organised to come next year together again. So I thought that was a really nice thing. But so it's a really nice
vibe,
really nice fun weekend. Yeah.
I'm imagining in my mind a lineup similar to those ones you used to see for when Apple released new products, you know, like the new iPhone and stuff that used to be like a mile long. That's what I'm seeing, but a much more chilled out, happy crew of people.
That's exactly what it is. And look, it's not the first year we had the huge, a really, really big line, because I don't think anyone expected there to be a line. But ever since, the line has been pretty realistic. It's not as crazy as the first year. So don't be put off by the line. There's so much art. And like I said, the vast majority of the artwork will be sold online. So if you can't get to it, there's no big problem.
Well, really, I mean, even the inability to accommodate 15,000 artworks in one space is a good problem to have, right? Like, it means that what you're doing is hitting the hearts of artists and purchasers, which is pretty incredible. Like, that you are, you know, you've created this thing, you've had this idea, you've brought it to the people, and the art community has embraced it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, look, it's been a humbling experience. It's one of the, you know, one of the most enjoyable things I do each year. And so, yes, it's been a thrill. But it's, you know, it's a lot of work, and that's good. We want to work, and we want to make sure that this works for all the key stakeholders in this. As I said, the organisations we fund, the artists, and the art buyers.
So, I guess the best place for people to go to keep up to date, would that be to the website and then sign up for the newsletter, for example?
Yeah, that's what I'd do, yeah. And then we're very active on our Instagram page as well. So if you've got Instagram, follow along. We do engage a lot with it on our emails.
Actually, the other thing I should ask before I forget is, can people from overseas purchase as well? Like, given that it has the online component, can someone in America or Britain or anywhere really for that matter, can they purchase and you know, have it shipped to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got artists from all over the world that are taking part, and we obviously open it up to buyers from other places as well. So that's not a problem at all.
Awesome. Excellent. David, this has been such a fun conversation. Is there, before we wrap up, is there anything that I haven't asked or something pressing that you want to share with everybody? The floor is yours.
No, well, it was good interview. There's not much we left out. I just encourage at this point for this year, it's all about buying. So once we start getting this stuff online, make sure you build your wish list. Your wish list will be the best thing for you in terms of planning what you're going to buy, in both the, if you can make the in-person sale, it's very important, and then on the online sale, it's going to be an important way to work it out. If we've got 10 to 15,000 artworks, it's a lot of time you'll have to spend online checking the artwork out. So if you build your wish list and sort of come back and, you know, take 20 minutes each day, you'll finally get through it all, and you'll have a beautiful little wish list there ready to go.
I love it. I look forward to creating my own wish list, that's for sure.
I look forward to seeing it, Kim. I'll have a look, see what your favourite artworks are.
He's going to stalk me now. Thank you, David, for taking time. I really do appreciate it. And, thank you so much.
Thank you for taking part, Kim. Really appreciate it, as we do everyone that takes part in the show.
It's my pleasure. Awesome. That was good. Thank you so much, David.
Would you be interested in making a one-off payment to support us? In return, you'd be helping to keep the podcast going and would also get access to our bonus episodes. Let me know what you think via Kim@artsupplyposse.com or via Instagram.